Blog Talk Radio.
Knock it off. There we go.
I think you missed one.
Did I miss one? All right. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Maybe
good morning,
two.
Mike.
Maybe two. I think I'm missing two lug nuts this morning. Well, welcome in, everybody, to another Frat House Sports' Race Train Motorsports Hour. We're all out here in the garage. And listen, for the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to talk nothing but motorsports, particularly NASCAR, as we're heading into race number 9 down at Richmond International Raceway today. Well, listen, that's your cue. If you want to get in with us at any point today, don't hesitate. The number here at the garage, 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us, 347-826-9964, and yes, we do pick up the phone on a Sunday. Otherwise, if you are on a computer listening that way and Skype capable, just hit the Skype button next to us, and that should put you through to us loud and clear. You can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, as our loyal listener Liz normally does, and I see she's there this morning. Thank you. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at FratHouseMike. You can get me over there. At Frat House Mike, leave us a message over there. Because we got a whole bunch of stuff we're going to get into here today. And for the longest time, I got to be honest, we actually considered perhaps maybe just changing the name of the show today from the Race Trim Motorsports Hour to the Smoke Show. Because let's get it straight. Despite what Carl Edwards did last week at Bristol, and oh, by the way, yeah, that's only the third JGR driver to get into the chase now in, what, 8 races. So despite all of that, where's been the news? Well, the news was Tony Stewart. See, because we got the announcement that Tony Stewart was returning. And that was prompted. Yeah, there you go. Isn't that great? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe NASCAR is not feeling that way. They might not be thinking that. They might be, you know, they might be going more like, you know.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, they might be doing that. I don't know. But listen, Tony no sooner announces he's returning, and, well, that prompts the response from NASCAR to grant him an exemption. All right, there we go. All things are good, right? And then that's followed by Tony Stewart really coming out and really tearing NASCAR a new one for the whole lug nut issue.
Obviously, we've got to do a better job.
to which that prompted NASCAR to file a $35,000 fine against him. To which that prompted all of his fellow drivers, including the Drivers' Council, to step forward and take his
crazy?
Side. I know, it does. They took his side, and they're paying the fine. And they've made so much noise that prompted NASCAR to sit back, and some NASCAR officials are going, oh, hold on, guys. Maybe what we need to do is rethink the lug nuts. I mean, seriously, folks. This is what... I mean, are you kidding me? This is the governing body of our racing sport. Seriously. That's what this has come down to. Absolute insanity this past week.
Haven't we talked about this, Fred S. Mike, about the knee-jerk reaction? But we've been talking about it. I swear we... Every week we bring up the knee-jerk reaction that NASCAR has to everything. You know,
it
we're talking about lug nuts, and we're
Was it ever better on display than this week, though? I mean, for God's sake, honest to God. But really, I gotta say this too, from my mouth to God's ears. Aren't I the one sitting here last week bringing up the whole lug nut issue? And suddenly that thing just exploded this past week into the number one NASCAR issue. But we're gonna talk about that at length quite a bit today. But we also do have to get into what obviously, I mean, we talked a lot about JGR and how they continue to rock on. Carl Edwards, like I said, he didn't get it done in Texas, but he certainly did, made sure he got to do a backflip in Bristol last week. And, hey, what can we expect at RIR today? And, listen, we're even going to get in a little NHRA update and drag racing report today. Hey, we got some four wide. The only time during the entire season we get to see four wide, if that's your sort of thing, four wide drag racing today down at ZMAX Raceway in North Carolina. So there's our lineup. And like I said, if anybody wants to jump in, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. Before I jump into, before we get into the smoke show, guys, Bristol last week. Holy smokes. Carl Edwards, 276 laps led. And I just can't get away from, and, you know, I know Sidekick's going to get all over me, you know, he's showing my JGR love. But look, let's get it straight. When it wasn't Carl Edwards, well, it was his teammate, Matt Kenseth, 142 laps led for Matt Kenseth, who ultimately ended up finishing 36th. We saw the JGR cars, well, they were somewhat flawed last week, at least with some tire issues. But not for Carl Edwards. He didn't have any tire issues whatsoever. The dominance continues, guys. Thoughts?
No.
I thought the short
tracks are going to be a bit of an equalizer, and they clearly, you know, JGR still has their act together on every form of track. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. They still have a stranglehold on it, but I think there's other teams close. I think you're going to see today, you're going to see the Chevys run well. If yesterday's Xfinity race was any kind of barometer, I think the Chevys are going to do well. They seem to, you know, the Dale Jr. Motorsports cars seem to outduel the JGR cars. Now, granted, you didn't have Kyle Busch in the JGR cars, but as a whole, the Junior Motorsports and Childress Chevys were running up at the front where the Toyotas were, you know, third, fourth, fifth in that area. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes today. But I think you could see a little different outcome. I think today's going to be a good race. They really like, the drivers were commenting that they really like the tire combination at the track this time, and that there's going to be lots of grooves and lots of passing. So I'm looking forward to today.
I like Richmond. You know, it's a 3/4 mile. I don't like the real small tracks, myself personally. But Richmond's kind of that in between size, 3/4, like I said, 3/4 mile. And it's wide enough. It's wide enough coming into the turns, coming out of the turns, that you can get 3 wide going, even on really what kind of is, like I said, it's not the small tracks. It's not the half mile, but still somewhat something of the smaller type of track. And I like Richmond. I think it's, I've not had the pleasure of actually being there to see a race. You've been down there, Brandon, many, many times. Is it a good place to watch a race?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been going there since 1992. I have season tickets. My dad and a couple friends are down there today. This is the first time they're doing a Saturday after or Sunday afternoon race in a long time, and I wasn't into necessarily making a bonsai trip and get back for work on Monday, so I'm going to probably just attend the September night race instead of this one. But, yeah, it should be a good race.
Yep. The drivers...
Very good sight lines.
The drivers apparently were happy. I know, Sidekick, you were bringing it up earlier this week. You had some confusion about, really? What's going on here? I thought this was a night race. But
yeah,
the drivers apparently.
I'm
apparently
so
the drivers are happy about it. Drivers like the daytime racing apparently here at Richmond.
Yeah,
ahead,
I mean, I like you said, I'm like, hey, don't we have a show Friday night? Richmond's always on a Saturday night. No, this is the first time, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Let's go toy with tradition.
Well, how long
you could have said that before though.
Well, yeah. But I mean, it'll be interesting. I can't remember watching a Richmond day race. I've always, you know, I mean, I've been there with Brandon a couple times gone down to Richmond and stuff. So, you know, I agree. It's a great track to watch. Yeah, you know, watch races at it. It's, you know, like you alluded to, it's, you know, it's not necessarily really a short track, but it's not a mile. You know, it's not a cookie cutter. It's not a 2 mile
right.
track either. So mm-hmm. you do get some speeds going, but you also, you know, you still got to hit them corners. And it's so much. This race, maybe not, there's not as much, I mean, obviously this week there is. There's usually not too much drama, the first one. The second one being the cutoff race, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of excitement because you got a lot of guys trying to get their way into the race, guys trying to make sure that they stay
yep.
in the chase.
Yeah, we've seen
it. So there's a little bit more excitement.
We've seen it.
Yeah, you know. Infamous Clint Boyer itch.
I was gonna say you could get out there and have an itch. You know that's the only problem.
That,
you know, bad time of year down there at Richmond. You'll be getting an itch.
But I have to disagree with Brandon a little bit. I think it's going to be the JGR show again today.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Because when you talk about drivers that run well here, you know, there's been a lot of noise about Tony Stewart got his first win here. And he, not so much the past few years, but he's run well here. You know, this is almost a home track for Denny Hamlin. You know, so, you know, when you're talking fantasy, you almost have to put Denny Hamlin on your roster. Kyle Busch runs well here. You know, so that's two of the five Toyotas.
Yeah.
You know, the JGR guys, because, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, you throw Martin Truex in there, you know what I mean? As a fifth JGR car. So, you know.
Of the active drivers, Kyle's got 4 wins here, so he's got the most wins. Harvick, Johnson, and Stewart all have 3. Now, Harvick today, of course, starting from the pole, and apparently ran well yesterday, particularly in practice. Although there was one commentator who indicated they felt that Edwards probably had the strongest car. Oh boy, how you like that one? 2-time winners here include Boyer, Kurt Busch, Jr., Hamlin, and Kenseth. I kind of agree with Brendan. I think particularly with Harvick running well and coming off the pole. I think you could see a mix today. I think you could see a change-up. I'm going to be honest with you. And when we get to our Eat My Dust, it's going to sound familiar for me. In fact, I'll just give it away right now. I mean, I'm going with Edwards. That'll be 3 weeks in a row, guys. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm actually getting bored with it. And I'm an Edwards guy. I like Carl Edwards. But this is my 3rd week in a row. And I'm having a hard time not going with Edwards. When you take a look at the leaderboard right now, and if we just look at points, forget the way that they're doing it nowadays where, you know, wins count first. But if we just simply go points, Harvick is there at 287, and in there at number 2 is Carl Edwards at 286, only 1 point behind. And yet, it feels like Carl Edwards has been a more dominant car overall than Kevin Harvick. It's tough not to continue going with Edwards. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. It's very difficult. The leaderboard here, anybody want to chime in on that? I mean, Carl Edwards has just been, it looks like, I mean, if you didn't know better and he could keep doing this, if he were to pull a Greg Biffle like we saw from Biffle a couple of years ago, Carl Edwards would run away with this thing this year.
Well, maybe. I think you're going to see a good showing out of Harvick and all of Stuart Haas. I think Stuart Haas is going to be a little pumped up having Tony back. Harvick, like as you just said, is starting from the pole. And if you remember, Kurt Busch won this race last year. So, you know, this is Stuart Haas has a good history at this track. And, you know, maybe I'm tipping my hand a little on who I'm going to pick for Eat My Dust, but I think it's going to be a Stuart Haas kind of day, if you know what I mean. I mean, I think you're going to see, you know, Harvick, you know, flex some muscle a little bit, maybe win the race, get in the chase. You know, it's just the JGR dominance has been going for a while, but, you know, I think this is one of the few tracks where I think, you know, you have some other teams out there who are going to be equal. And I think you're going to see all the Stuart Haas cars. Now, I'm not sure. I read different things about Tony. I don't know if he's running the whole race, just starting it. I know we're going to get into that, so I'm sure we'll hash that all out. But, you know, he actually qualified 18th, which was, you know, not bad for his first race back.
Absolutely.
In my book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, this is a hard race for me from a fantasy perspective. Not so much from just a purely fan. Because, you know, Tony's back, so you know I'm going to root for Tony. And that, you know, it's his last year. I've kind of been a little sad / depressed that, you know, like I went to Daytona thinking I was going to get to see Tony and then didn't get to see Tony. So, from a pure fan perspective, I'm going to be rooting for Tony today. From a fantasy's perspective, I would love to put Tony on my roster, but I'm not quite sure how he's going to run the today. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of conflicted about it.
Well, I'll tell you, if it's worth anything at all there, Psychic, I was actually reading one fantasy expert late yesterday afternoon, and they were actually putting together a roster specifically for NASCAR Fantasy Live, which is the one that we do, and made the case that you should go with Stewart simply because of the dollar value, and that the value is good because I think, and I don't know if you've got the numbers right there in front of me or in front of you or can access them real quick, but I believe he's coming in at, is it $13?
Yes, it is $13 for Tony.
Okay. So at that value, and he's coming out at 18. So you're going to get the passing points, you know, because if he's able to move up a little bit, then you're going to get those points. You'll get, so there's a number of different ways to look at it, but
yeah,
but
if he doesn't run the whole race, you know, and they change drivers, he's going to go to the back.
Well,
and
it's
then,
interesting, Brandon, that you're the first, that's the first time I've heard that he may not run the whole thing.
Well, I had read something that I could have sworn I had read something that he was going to give way to Ty Dillon at some point. I don't know.
Well,
I'll double check.
I've got it. He's going to race all of Richmond.
Okay.
And that. But, and he's going to do the tire test at Indianapolis because the G's you pull at Richmond are not that great. And then the tire test allows him to do some runs, take a break, do some runs, take a break, and that. But Talladega, he's going to start the race, so he gets the points for starting the race, but he's going to get out and let Ty Dillon run the rest of the race for him. His next full race back will be Kansas.
Okay. I could see that with Talladega because I can see where that track could put perhaps maybe undue pressure on his back. I mean, that's an intense track to be running in. So I don't know. In some respects, I kind of understand some of that. I think there's some logistics and physics involved in it. And I think that's what the decision there being made is. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that makes better sense to me now. I knew there was something going on. I just couldn't align it.
It kind of got a little weird. You're like, he's racing here. He's not racing there. He's going to do this, but he's going to do that. And I had to read it a couple times because I got confused reading it.
And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, and you know, I didn't want to necessarily jump the gun on all the Tony Stewart chat, but hey, what the hell? And like I said, we should have just called this the smoke show anyhow. But anybody here surprised that NASCAR so quickly came down and provided that exemption? Or was that like, I mean, as you're pointing out, Sidekick, there's so many, there were, you know, at least to start off with, there's so many, you know, if this, then that sort of scenarios right. that Tony was
well,
presenting.
Well, I think we all kind of knew he was going to get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, and I think NASCAR, honestly, already knew they were going to give it to him.
Right.
Yeah, they've been for weeks that, you know, this wasn't like, you know, unexpected. We knew he was going to come back at some point. So they had plenty of time to discuss it. And look at it from NASCAR's point of view. It's a PR nightmare if they say no. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, multiple time champion.
His
last year, nobody really expects him to even really win a race, I don't think. I mean, it's possible, but I don't know that, you know, unless something dramatically happens and he, you know, starts hitting the track like Kyle did when he came back like a man possessed, I don't think you're going to see, you know, I think the odds of a win are maybe a little on the slimmer side. He might pull something off at, like, you know, Michigan in the hot summer where he's real good on slick tracks, but you never know. But I think it's a lose-lose deal for NASCAR if they don't give it to him because, you know, of who he is and what he means to the sport and, you know, fans, other drivers, as you can see, other drivers come to his defense immediately in this fine issue. I mean, he carries a lot of weight, and I mean that more than one way, in the garage. He's kind of like one of the leaders. Yeah, and he does, you know, have a few too many soda cookies, but hey, what do you
I was
going to
say, he's got to get off the soda cookies. That's what it is.
Yeah, you're not going to be seeing him doing, you know, Pilates with Danica. No. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Actually, would that
he might watch her
ideal?
Do it.
That would be ideal. I actually would love to see. I think they ought to do that just as a spoof. I think that would be hysterical.
That would be flipping hilarious.
It would be. It seems to me, though, too. I mean, with the whole exemption thing, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but in some respects, while we're all sitting here, you're saying, Brandon, you know, and you're rightfully so, you know, we're all kind of expecting it. It's also too that NASCAR had kind of backed themselves into the corner, right? I mean, the precedent was there. So, you know, you're going to extend it for this one. We're going to do it in different ways for different guys in different years. And you're not going to do it.
So it was almost
as if they had kind of created this problem themselves.
Right. Now, see, I could argue the other way. And as much as I am a Tony fan, I could totally argue the fact that, hey, this happened on his own, outside of the sport,
right?
On his, you know, free time, he doesn't deserve an exception. Kyle Busch was at least at a NASCAR sanctioned event when you know he got hurt. Yes, he wasn't in Sprint Cup, he was in Xfinity, but at least he was at a NASCAR event when he got jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tony was on his own, just, you know, doing what Tony does and broke his back. You know what I mean? Now, he's gotten exceptions in the past, but I think, you know, the whole Canandaigua thing was one of those rare instances and that. So I could, you know, you could argue either way for that one. But for this one, as much as everybody saw it coming, you could realistically make the argument that it didn't happen at a NASCAR track or any kind of NASCAR sanctioned event. So
yep.
You shouldn't get the exemption. Sorry. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, and that's just being fair. Yeah. You know?
Well, and I think there's some legitimacy to that concept. I mean, truly, you know, in some respects, I was real quick because, you know, I remember, I guess it was, I'm trying to remember what day it was that Tony actually came out and said he was going to run it at Richmond. I guess it was Wednesday. I want to say it was Wednesday. In fact, I know it was Wednesday because we kind of alluded to it a little bit on our Thursday night show. But Brandon, at one point, Brandon, you and I were chatting, and you quick turned to me, and because I had made the pronouncement that NASCAR had, yes, they had given him an exemption, and you came looked at me, oh, have they done that? And I was quick to say, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you guys, last night I'm looking around, and I'm trying to find where there was anything official, and there really wasn't an official statement on it from NASCAR. There's never really been a quote-unquote official written statement on Tony Stewart's status from NASCAR. And yet, it is, and I've got the information that when we get into the Tony Stewart, you know, when we get a little further down here, I'll give you the info that I've got from SB Nation. So I'm thinking to myself last night as I'm trying to find an official on it, I'm thinking, you know, really when it comes right down to it, maybe NASCAR is holding off on giving an official on this because, and my thought went to exactly what you're saying, Psychic, Tony really wasn't hurt. You know, it would be like an NFL player, and we brought this up before, an NFL player going out and doing something reckless on their own time and then getting injured, and they find out it's against a clause in one of their own contracts that they're not allowed to participate in dangerous activities. So I was thinking to myself, maybe that was the case, but then I found where, in fact, it pretty much states NASCAR granted the exception, or exemption, rather.
I think this exemption, medical exemptions, are going to be normal, depending on any injury for any driver. I think the only kind of thing where you won't see an exception maybe in a situation like, you know, where, remember Kurt Busch had his legal issues with the psycho, you know, ex-girlfriend, you know, that kept him out for a while. I think those kind of things will keep, you know, being a disqualifying thing, but I think NASCAR, if you look at it from NASCAR's point of view, they're making them hold to, they ought to just make it, you know, you got to be in the top 30, you got to win a race. Let's not even talk about qualifying anymore, because then you won't even need an exemption. Just make it, you got to be top 30 in points, and you got to win a race to make the chase. And then you're done. It doesn't matter. I mean, if there's an exemption, there's no, you know, maybe they're doing that just to keep, you know, suspended type drivers out of the chase, if they have, you know, depending what they're suspended for, I guess they're trying to maintain a little control with that part of the rule. But, you know, I don't think they're going to say no to the medical thing anymore. It doesn't seem like if they were going to, this would have been the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's a good point. Go ahead.
Perhaps Mike, I actually found the quote. So NASCAR Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Development Officer Steve O'Donnell said in a statement, NASCAR received the appropriate medical clearance documentation allowing Tony Stewart to resume normal racing activities. We have also granted the request from Stewart Haas Racing for a waiver for Tony to be eligible to qualify for the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup as he begins his final season. We wish Tony the best of luck. Boy, was that not a Freudian slip, right? I honestly didn't mean to say bitch. But.
I'll tell you something, Psychic. I went out and I was Googling last night, and I forget exactly the phraseology I used, but I'm pretty good when it comes to parsing my terms properly in Google. I forget what I used. Something like Tony Stewart race exemption, something to that effect, and then I tried a couple of different variations. NASCAR on Tony Stewart's status, I tried that. And can I tell you what you get? Everything you get goes back to 2 years ago with the Canandaigua situation. There's very little. I mean, they really kind of did not make a big to-do about the fact that there was an exemption for him at all. I got
this off of MRN.
Yeah, really? Okay, there you go. Now, so. I got it from SB Nation. Quote, unquote, because Stewart did not attempt every cup race, he required a waiver to be eligible to qualify for the chase for the Sprint Cup. NASCAR granted that exemption shortly after Stewart's tweet declaring his return to competition. To earn one of 16 spots in NASCAR's playoffs, Stewart must win a regular season race and rank 30th or better in points after 26 events. So that's how I got it, and that's not even really technically an official, as you say, statement You got it apparently, though, from O'Donnell. All right, so we got it there.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is there's actually another quote from O'Donnell in here that kind of is contradictory.
Oh, geez. Well, what
and
else kinda, is new?
Well,
what
well,
else is new?
Well, it backs up my argument, kind of. And it, you know, because he goes on to say, quote, the spirit of the rule was never designed to punish drivers who are unable to compete due to extenuating circumstances, such as recovering from a racing accident, end quote.
Okay, well, how's that a contradiction? I don't get it.
Well, he was out running ATVs.
Okay, yeah. But in the but O'Donnell's not.
I mean, he
leaves
it a little broad by saying a racing accident, but it's kind of like, at the same time, it's like, well, Tony was just out running ATVs. That's not a racing thing.
Yeah. See, you know, they run the risk.
Oh, they were racing. Don't get me wrong. They were racing.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Stewart ain't riding no ATVs without racing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that scene out of Days of Thunder with the rental cars, you know, down on the beach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, Sidekick. Here's the problem that they have, that NASCAR's got. Because they don't have contracts with these guys, a la, as I just pointed out, in our other professional sports, NFL, Major League Baseball, where an owner can stipulate what activities one of their star players can or cannot participate in. Because
They have them. Stewart's just his own owner. That's the difference.
And remember, and that's one of the reasons we thought he left JGR. Because he was getting into all that trouble at JGR. And we thought that, we had hinted that possibly Joe Gibbs may have said, you know, Tony, you know, kind of like with Kyle Busch, where Kyle Busch came out and said, you know what, I'm not going to run as many races as I used to. Yeah, I don't think Joe goes as far as to, you know, mandate stuff, but I'm sure that he sits down and says, you know, look, you're starting to have some issues here. We need to rein this in just a little bit, buddy.
Right. Well, see, as you point out, I think we talked about that with Kyle. Right. We talked about that earlier this year with Kyle and Gibbs. All right. Well, anyhow, at least here we go. This is the beginning of the smoke show here. Tony Stewart gets his exemption. He's coming back and we've got everything worked out. So we've got it all cleared up. We know what he's racing. He's racing at Richmond. He's not racing for the whole race at Talladega. Going to race the whole race. Okay, here we go. Good. All right. So all things are good, right? I mean, everything's great. NASCAR and Tony are all getting along for about 24 hours, maybe less than that. Tony comes out and absolutely slams NASCAR over the whole lug nut issue. And like I said, we got talking about it last week, interestingly enough, and as the whole lug nut thing blew up this past week, I got to tell you, I'm sitting back and I'm smiling. I'm going, wow, from my mouth to God's ears, seriously. I mean, I brought it up last week, and I'm making a big to-do about it, and look at this. It's all coming to pass. I got a minute and a half here. I'm going to play here real quick from ABC News the other morning. I guess this was Good Morning America, where you'll actually hear Tony. You'll hear some of Tony's comments himself personally. I'm going to warn you because I know Sidekick's going to come back and he's going to be infuriated after he hears this. Listen, typical yellow journalism going on here, ABC News. As they got to get into in just a minute and a half, aside from all the stuff that we're talking about with lug nuts, don't you know they got to get into Canandaigua? Uh-huh. Yeah, where do you see how they paint this one? Hold on. Let me play this.
Oh, God.
You do get to hear Tony in this, and you get to hear Dale Jr. at the end as well. Dale pipes up about the lug nut thing. So a minute and a half here, folks.
This morning, just as Tony Stewart is announcing his comeback from an off-track injury, he's already causing a blowout among race fans and officials.
It should be outperforming the other teams, not jeopardizing drivers' lives.
Taking NASCAR to task over a new policy, loosening restrictions on pit crews who mount tires with one or more of their lug nuts missing.
They're putting competition before safety, and that's something I can't believe that NASCAR has let happen.
The three-time Sprint Cup champion is no stranger to controversy, famously brawling in the pits and in the stands.
I've made a career out of doing things I wasn't supposed to do.
In 2014, An alleged confrontation with a fellow dirt track racer led to Stewart's car hitting and killing Kevin Ward Jr. The crash ruled an accident, and Stewart was never charged with a crime. But now, smoke is drawing the line at the NASCAR rule change, which took effect last season, telling the Charlotte Observer, "You will not have heard a rant that's going to be as bad as what comes out of my mouth if a driver gets hurt because of a loose wheel that hurts one of them." NASCAR says new technology and camera systems have led to officials being less needed in that area of the track, which means the organization is relying on team owners and crews to enforce tire mounting safety requirements. And other legendary drivers are getting nervous too.
I'm one of the guys who's freaked out by it. I've had a few come off, and it's never ends well.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm listening to the whole thing, and I thought, you know, listen, I like the comments from Tony. I like the comments from Dale. Good. At least we got some. You know, we got something to put together this whole issue with. What the comments about the whole thing 2 years ago had to do with this issue? I have no idea. You know, if that isn't
the brawling in the
pits. Exactly. Exactly.
Like what? It was. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. It was a smear Tony thing.
Yep.
I mean, there wasn't any kind of unbiased. Yeah, they're just like, oh, you got it. Tony's off being Tony in the off season. Hurts
Tony's
himself.
Being Tony.
He comes back,
right.
And now he's you got this loose cannon in the pits. This guy fights with people. He's killed a guy and gotten away with it.
Exactly. Right.
But, you
know,
it's not like he's Ray Rice for crying out loud. come on now.
Oh, my God.
You know, I know that I know Ray Rice was acquitted, blah, blah, you know, the whole thing. But still, they're completely different. You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
Well, I knew it was going to get your ire. Honest to God, psychic, I knew it. As soon as I heard it last night, and I'm getting ready, and I'm going, oh, I got to put this up. And I'm listening to it the second time, and I'm going, holy crow, psychic is going to have a fit if I play this. And I thought to myself the same thing you did. It really is a little bit unfair, in my opinion.
They just kind of, it's a very tail end of it. They're like, oh, and here's a comment from Junior.
Yeah, exactly. Well, wait a minute. Isn't it interesting how they go and they take, you know, the profession's most favorite driver and they bury him in the back. We're going to put the villain up front and we'll put everybody's favorite in the back. Oh, by the way, though, we have the villain and the favorite both agreeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you know what's funny, though, is Junior's comments actually came out before Stewart's. Junior's comments came out, it was on USA Today on April 16th.
I was not aware of that. I know Denny Hamlin came out, and he had some comments about the whole thing.
Because I remember you bringing up about Tony getting fined, and I'm like, well, why didn't Junior get fined? You know, but I think it's because Junior's comments were,
why.
It freaks me out, end quote, and it, quote, I was blown away that NASCAR quit officiating that aspect of pit stops. So he didn't, Tony, like, went at NASCAR.
Yeah, that's the difference. That's
versus
the tone.
Junior was like, I don't like this. I'm kind of scared of it.
Well,
where Tony said,
let
a driver get hurt and I will hunt you down. I have a particular set of skills. he's doing his Liam Neeson.
I was going to say Tony went all Liam Neeson on him.
And, of course, to go back to yellow journalism, if there's any guy you don't want running you down, it's Tony Stewart.
As was so adeptly pointed out by that reporter. maybe that's exactly why he made sure that was included.
Right.
That was a veiled threat by the reporter to NASCAR. Hey, you don't want to mess with this guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God Almighty. Well, interesting now, guys. Real quick, we got one of our callers. We've had them on before. Chuck Ellison's going to join us here in a second from Save Stock Car Racing. He's got some thoughts on the whole lug nut thing. But interestingly, now this thing has blown up. I mean, it would seem to me NASCAR's got to fix this whole thing right now at this point. Is that the way it's going to go? I mean, look, you got the drivers' council coming out and backing Tony. They're even paying a $35,000 fine.
Right, that's a whole nother topic we could talk about because we haven't really talked much about the driver council, and now you have the driver council flexing their muscle a little bit.
Listen, I'm okay with it. I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely, the owners got their council.
Exactly.
Why can't the drivers have their council?
You got Dale coming out making comments. You got Denny Hamlin coming out making comments. And you got Tony. Like we just said, you know, ready to go Liam Neeson on him. So, and you got to know that there are probably other drivers that are going to step. I'm surprised hasn't stepped forward. Where's Keselowski at all of this? Isn't he a big mouth? Come on. The pesky boys are awful quiet. but before I get Chuck in here, guys, this is going to get changed, right?
I think it will.
The problem
NASCAR's going to take too much heat in the public opinion on this.
Yeah,
and God forbid if what Tony said would ever happen, a driver would get hurt because a wheel flew off, NASCAR would be in deep doo doo. I think they're going to change this. That's just my personal opinion.
I don't think they ever
should have changed it away from the way it was. To be honest with you,
I agree with you. Some of the motivation though sounds like it's been economically driven. Go ahead, Sidekick.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They laid off all those officials.
Exactly. Right.
So it's, Junior said in his comments, it's not, you untied the knot. We can't tie it back.
They can hire them. Yeah, they can hire some of them back and just have them do, each official's responsible for, say, 3-4 drivers and random pit stop checks. Every time they just go to a different one. And if they catch them and they're penalizing them, that'll make the teams put the 4 back on.
All right.
They don't have to necessarily have one per pit crew.
I was going to say, that's 40 pit boxes. Go ahead, Psych.
Let me call Tony Stewart, though, hypocritical. Because who are the people that are leaving the lug nuts off? Who's choosing to skirt the fact that you are it's not being watched?
The owners
and the pit teams, the crew chiefs and it's the teams. So while I understand you're complaining because it's not being officiated, at the same time you have to go back to the teams and say, well, if you're so concerned about safety, why are you guys not putting 5 lug nuts on?
Okay, but when it's going to cost me an extra second, okay, in my pit box, and I'm going to tell you something. Take a look at it, guys. We've seen some really good pit crew numbers this year. Really, really outstanding. And I guess maybe we're getting the reason for it. I guess maybe right now we know why, huh? But it becomes a ripple effect, Psychic. If you've got the 10 top teams all doing this, and all of a sudden, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to put, no, guys, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Well, guess what? Then I'm going to lose.
Right, but at the same time, you can't really sit there and cry foul because, NASCAR's not watching you, but just because I'm not watching you doesn't mean you should be, hey, crew chief, you shouldn't be taking a safety risk.
Yep.
You know it's a safety risk. Why are you doing it? Just because we're not watching you.
It's
a big issue. I think NASCAR should go back because obviously the teams can't be trusted with their own safety.
Well, I think in some respects you're being somewhat euphemistic, though, about your thinking that, there's going to be reputable guys out there that are going to say, I'm not going to bend, when, like I said, You've got other teams that are pulling out of there two seconds ahead of your guy consistently. I mean, that's the problem.
Right. But at the same time, you you know, if you're going to sit there and call out NASCAR, you should be calling out all the other people that are doing it. That's all I'm saying. It's kind of hard to go out there and say, you know, NASCAR, I can't believe NASCAR isn't monitoring us to make sure that we're putting five lug nuts
on.
Well,
I mean, there's a good question. Somebody ought to put Tony's feet to the fire and ask him outright, what's Brian Vickers' crew doing? You know, what's Kurt Busch's crew doing? I'll tell you what.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to be in a press conference and ask.
And ask Tony that outright.
You know me. I totally stand up and be like, hey, Tony, almost, you know, number 11 fan over here. I'm not going to say I'm number one, but number 11 fan over here. All right. Well, then why the hell aren't you putting all five lugs on?
Well, you know, let's ask him what the other ones are doing. What's the procedure with the other ones?
Yeah.
All right.
Who knows? Maybe I'll tweet him.
We'll do that.
What the hell?
Why don't you do it right now while we're on the air? Maybe we'll get a response before we close up shop.
Yeah, right.
I would imagine they're doing driver introductions.
Yeah,
don't hold my breath.
Other stuff. I'm not getting a. If anything, I'm getting a. You know, I might get a. A comment from some pit reporter or something.
Well, it'll go viral.
It'll be up on.
Well, there
TNT.
You go. What the hell's wrong
Sidekick,
with that?
Sidekick. Sidekick takes Tony Stewart to task.
All right, look, let me do this real quick with some thoughts on this lug nut thing, because I'd like to get a different perspective on it, because it sounds like we know where we're going here. We've had Chuck Ellison on with us numerous times before from Save Stock Car Racing. SaveStockCarRacing.com is how you can catch up with Primetime Chuck. Chuck, thanks for joining us here on our Race Room Motorsports Hour this morning. How you doing?
All right, guys. Good to hear from you. Good to listen to the show. I kind of want to go at that whole issue with the officiating. First off, you know, I think that it's kind of hard to say, well, it's the team's responsibility to police themselves. I mean, would you let NFL players police themselves for holding and face mask and things of that nature? I don't really think it falls on the teams, because ultimately the teams are going to do whatever it takes to gain a competitive edge. And I feel like it's really NASCAR's job to ensure safety at the racetrack.
All right. So, I got you on that one. I hear you on some of that. And there are cases in some sports where there is kind of like you – I don't know. In baseball, they call them unwritten rules. In hockey, you know, there's a little bit of policing that's done on their own. I got you. You can't allow participants to police everything. I got you. Let's go to the lug nut thing, though. Let me go directly to that issue. You had some thoughts on what is motivating this, what's driving this. Why did this suddenly become an issue this year? Why aren't we doing it the way that we used to be done?
Well, it's ultimately because NASCAR is trying to cut corners and save money every way they can. And taking 43 officials off of pit road, in my mind, was not the way to save money. I think that that's a very dangerous precedent to set. And the technology also is very questionable, because the fans don't see it. We don't really know how they're judging penalties or what the penalties, you know, say they call someone for a penalty and, you know, the announcers on TV say, well, they saw them do this, this, and this. How come the fans aren't seeing it replayed? Why aren't they showing that more often? There's a lot of issues with the new video officiating technology that I have a problem with, but those are just, you know, a couple of them.
Well, there have been some times that we have seen them. I mean, they've been able to catch things that maybe even before that we wouldn't have seen before. And I'll go back to it. I brought it up now a couple of times. Brandon, I go back to the one famous penalty we've talked about numerous times here of the gas man putting the wrench on the back of the car. I mean, they replayed that one. There have been numerous penalties we have seen. Replayed.
Yeah,
the big one
we keep seeing is when they step out on the pit road, you know, when the car is too far away. You know, they have that little green box that they put her in and say you have to You know, we've seen how the new system works. And, you know, I'm sure it would work good together with some eyes on the track. They do need to do something to make sure that these guys have these lug nuts on. This is a safety thing. You can't have this. I'm stunned that it's almost like NASCAR, you know, just totally did something you wouldn't expect by allowing this to go on.
Mm-hmm.
The big concern for me is what happens, God forbid, if one of those tires comes off and it bounces over the grandstand fence and ends up in the fence. Forget the drivers. I mean, I'm not saying forget them, but you know what I mean. They understand the dangers, but if a tire goes into the fence and, you know, kills a fan, how is NASCAR going to avoid that? I mean, there's no waiver or anything that's going to prevent NASCAR from looking negligible, you know, for that negligence.
You know what I find interesting about this whole thing, and we're going into race number 9 right now. I brought this up last week going into Bristol, and where did we see it most happen more often? Where was it more apparent that we had an issue? Was at Texas, which was race number 7. I bring it up at, you know, going into Bristol. Tony brings it up this week. The rest of the drivers jump on it this week. Drivers Council jumps on it this week. Why wasn't this an issue back at Daytona? Why wasn't this an issue, back at Fontana? Why wasn't this an issue at Phoenix? That's what I find interesting. All of a sudden, and very quickly, in the past 2 weeks, this has become, I mean, have we really, really skimped? Is that what's going on? Tick crews are going out there, and I mean, really shorten these guys. Is that what we're doing all of a sudden? Because we're seeing the competitiveness. We're seeing such competitiveness coming out of the pit boxes that we're really shorting them. Go ahead, Brandon.
Some of it could be because now you have TV showing them only gluing on 3 or 4 nuts. I mean, last week during the broadcast, they literally showed them not even gluing the 5th lug nut onto the wheel. You know, maybe that's why it's like, hey, wait a minute, this is a wake-up call now. This is stupid, you know? You know, if we're going to show it, you know, they're not even trying to put the 5th lug on, then, yeah, this is a problem. You know, I think that's where maybe, you know, people and maybe guys like Junior and Stewart got their back up a little bit when they're like, okay, you know, we knew this was going on a little bit, but we didn't know it was this bad, where they're not even trying.
The gluing of the lug nuts partially onto it, that's a practice, though, that's been going on for a while, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
That's been that way, but it's always been 5. It's never been 4 or 3.
Right. Or
as,
3.
You know,
we've
you
heard.
See in some of these left side, you know, when they're trying to get really fast pit stops. So, you know, I think that may have been why, you know, all of a sudden we hear more and more of it, because now TV's making an issue out of it.
Can I interject a point that someone made? I've heard a lot about, I've heard fans say, well, why don't we go to a center lug, kind of like, you know, Indy and Formula One, that kind of thing, where it's just one singular lug nut. And then, you know, the purist in me says, well, that takes it out of being a stock car, but there's really nothing else stock on these cars at this point anyway. So why don't they consider doing that?
You know, that's great. I mean, because we're Brandon, you and I were just talking about that last week here on the show, right?
Yep.
And
the exact same thing.
I was the one that brought up. I said, well, I guess you can't do that because it's not stock. And what did you say?
And nothing else is.
You said, well, wait a minute. What is stock on these cars? So we brought up the exact same situation. I mean, Brandon even brought up the fact that, you know, hell, in Indy, you don't even have a jack. You don't even have a jack guy. There's no jack man.
I'll say I'm not in favor of it just because I'm a traditionalist and an old school, you know, guy. But, I mean, it brings up all kinds of other issues. But the thing about it is, I mean, if we're going to do this and if we're going to have this discussion, we've got to discuss that too. We've got to, you know, put safety first, no doubt, you know.
Yep. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I would sooner see NASCAR ensuring that there's 5 lugs on these wheels versus going to the 1 lug model. On top of which, they wouldn't be able to do it this year anyhow, right? That would take some time.
No.
They would have to do.
Yeah, they would have to convert all the wheel hubs over.
There'd be design changes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, another thing, you're not going to see them do it because NASCAR, from what I've heard, has a stake in the manufacturing of the wheels. So they're selling the teams the wheels. So I think you would have a hard time convincing NASCAR to take money out of their pocket to do that. Also.
Well, they would just change the design of the wheels and sell them the new wheels.
Yeah.
I think what you're going to see, eventually it'll probably go to a one lug system. I think they're going to try to probably go back to try to enforce the five. Here's the big safety thing that you got to think of. Even when they did enforce, you know, getting all five on, there was still from time to time somebody would leave a loose wheel and it'd come off. So if you want to go from a strict safety point of view, the one lug system is by far safer. And I think eventually, you know, they're not going to have a choice but to concede to that. Because that's just NASCAR stuck with carburetors for 20 years longer than they wanted to because they were too stubborn to switch to fuel injection. Well, that finally gave. So sooner or later, this will give too. You know, that's my opinion.
I agree with that. I agree with that assessment.
Sidekick, what are your thoughts on it? I don't know. I find I don't know. I'm not sure.
Unfortunately, it's one of those great debate topics with NASCAR. You know, everybody's making their case, and they're all valid. They're all valid arguments for, you know, safety. Go with the single lug. Tradition, stay with the five lugs at stock car. And that's the problem. I think that NASCAR's got kind of painted themselves into a corner. You're NASCAR. You're the National Association of Stock Car Racing. But your cars aren't stock anymore. So, you know, are you just going to take the leap and say, look, we're just going to kill the stock car kind of thing. We're going to make our cars look like a street model car, but we're going to go the single lug system just because it's the safest thing to do. Or they're going to have to come out and they say, look, we're stock car. We're going to try and move more in a stock direction. And which I can't really see them doing because you take away all the safety stuff. That's the, you know, I think part of the reason they're here is safety and trying to get, you know, cars faster. You know, so, you know, it's the, you know,
I kind of
want to stay with the stock car, personally.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chuck.
Form has followed function to a point in this sport, though, where it's no longer identifiable with the blue-collar people that are watching it. And I think NASCAR needs to make some sort of a concerted effort to try to go back and, you know, reverse some of the things they've done. I'm not saying do away with the safety, but I think you're going to see a lot of purists mad if they go to a single lug system just because they've already done everything to stomp on tradition in this sport. And I think you're going to see a large portion of the fan base that would not stand for that. That would be like, well, they're spitting on what got them here. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, you had people getting upset when they went to fuel injection.
I have a lot of questions about the system and why they did it, just because we don't really know. They never explained to us who monitors those chips. They never really explained any of that. They just said, okay, we're doing it. And I did a lot of research on McLaren's chip, and I was not impressed with all the manipulative properties that chip can be. You know, you can control RPM. You can control all kinds of things with that chip. And NASCAR's never really explained how they police all that and assure that everybody gets the same stuff. But that's a whole other issue. But I'm just saying there's a large portion of the fan base that every week is saying, well, I'm not watching anymore. I'm not watching anymore. And if that's the truth, maybe that's why Bristol was so empty. They just got to be more careful about the decisions they make. They have to gauge them out better than they have the last 10 or so years, no doubt.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
I mean,
Go ahead, Psychic.
I mean, I do kind of like what they did with the Xfinity series, where, you know, they went and they went with the, you know, the Camaro and the, you know, the Mustang and stuff like that to kind of differentiate the two series. And now you've got two different kind of stock car looking divisions in that. But it, you know, at the end of the day, it, again, it's just a skin, a little bit of bodywork to make them look, you know, but the underneath, you know, the frames are all, you know, the frames are all custom. Everything in that car is custom. You know, they're just made to look like it. So,
I mean, I hear what Chuck's saying. I mean, in some respects, look, here's the, you know, well, I can sit and watch IndyCar. I enjoy watching IndyCar, and there's a couple of there's a number of different races that I really like watching. But I got to be honest, if I'm seeing the guys flying into the pits at NASCAR and we're doing the one lug switch as we see in Indy, I'm a newbie to this sport. I'm going to sit there and go, "Oh, that's so Indy. That's so Indy." You know what I mean? And I don't know. I don't know. There's something about it. It doesn't quite feel right. Now, I'll say this. I would think teams would love it, because can you imagine what it's going to do to pit times? Holy smokes.
Well, pit times are relevant. They're going to be the same for everybody if you switch it.
Sure,
so I don't
but
think
my God,
really...
there's really going to be a diminishment from what is currently is the average. What's the average right now on a four car, on a four tire stop? The average is what, about 11, 12 seconds?
I would say, 12 and a half, something like that. I'd probably average. But here's the thing. It's just like with Daytona Rising, moving the stands back and up. That, to me, took away something from the live experience of going, because you're not right there and you can't feel the draft and all the things that used to be involved in going to Daytona. Same thing with this lug nut deal. If you hear pit road pit stops and it's just brr, brr, and that's it, instead of wow, 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 like, that's going to take a element that NASCAR's always had away, and I think some fans would miss that, just the spectacle of pit road, you know what I mean?
I as funny as it sounds, I kind of agree with you, Chuck. Brandon, you've been to a lot of live races. I'm just curious. Respond to that one. I mean, you know, there's aesthetics to the whole thing.
There's aesthetics and competition. I mean, it's going to make a pit stop easier. I mean, it's harder to hit five lugs than one, and, you know, and be fast at it. So, you know, there is a bit of skill involved with the way it's done now. So, you know, it would change it a little. I agree. It just depends what you want your ultimate motivation to be. I mean, I don't see a problem with sticking with five as long as they police it well and enforce it. And we make sure we got five lug nuts on, you know, at least, you know, four of them tight and five of them on there, whatever, however you want to do it. But they need to do.
I'm just terrified that this is going to be like Brian France has done everything else, taking the path of least resistance. And sometimes the path of least resistance is the worst idea for the sport. And I just have a fear that if we get this attitude, well, it'll be easier. Yeah, it may be easier, but what's it going to do to the fan base? And does anybody care at this point?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think
and
plenty
I'm
of people
sorry,
care.
I didn't mean
but...
to cut you off, but
no, I think
I
plenty of people
cut...
care.
Well, we care. The media, you know, the independent media, but it seems like NASCAR has an agenda, and every time they get an idea in their head, their media backs them up, and, you know, the voices of the people that dissent get silenced, and that's what worries me at this point. You know, even little issues like this have become major issues because the fans really don't have a voice in it anymore, you know?
That's an interesting point. I think the operative word you just used there, Chuck, is little. Even little issues like this suddenly become major. You know, it's interesting how we're sitting here talking about lug nuts, and we go to safety. And what comes out of it? What comes out of it is, well, hey, just go to the Indy version. Just go to the F1 version, which is a one lug system. And suddenly that's our concern, or at least for some of us here, suddenly that's the concern, is that, oh, well, that's the direction they're going to go. They're going to go in that direction. They're going to move in that direction. Interesting. I don't know. We're not going to solve this today, guys. You know, although I'm going to tell you right now, I frankly think, and, Sidekick, you kind of alluded to it right at the top of the program. This is NASCAR for you, baby. This is the way they operate. Whatever is the whim of the day, they're gonna move on, they're gonna make a change on this. I think very, very shortly. I'm gonna tell you. I think before we get to Talladega, you could see a change in this policy. That's just my personal opinion. That's my gut feeling on it.
Well, it may depend on how quickly they can rehire some of those officials to put them on the pit road.
And see,
or just use the media. The TV crews keep showing pictures. The TV crews keep showing those pictures.
I thought
see evidence of you guys.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting that they're going to send our buddy Vince Welsh down there behind one of these guys, that he's going to be down there.
Well, it loosely, I guess, you know, but the whole thing, you know, let's see the broadcast crew showing pictures of, you know, where these lugs aren't, or video of these tires not having the lugs on there, or, you know, teams not, you know. We catch it on the broadcast, and you guys are getting fined.
Well, listen, it's a good thing we got rid of TNT, because the only thing we would be seeing would be commercials. And Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's all we'd be seeing there.
Whoa. Yeah.
I love Chuck over there, low blow.
Right through the upright. Anyway.
Terrible NASCAR TV.
I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. I love getting to spout off a little vocally, and thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, Chuck. Save stock car racing, folks. Yeah, that's how you can check out what
the website,
Chuck's doing.
The website's down. Check out SaveStockCarRacing.com's Facebook page. I got to get the website back up. I'm having some issues there, but check out the Facebook page and follow me on Twitter at PrimetimeChuck. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chuck. Take care. All right. Interesting perspectives there. There are some things I kind of, I'm going to be honest, I kind of come down, kind of agree with them on a little bit there. I'll be honest with you.
It sounds like Chuck didn't get all the lug nuts on his website. I wouldn't say that before he ducked off, but...
Oh, well, hopefully Chuck's laughing right now. He heard that and he's laughing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think they're going to get, I wouldn't surprise me in the least if we hear a modification to this before Talladega. That's my gut feeling. Let's jump over real quick, though. We're going to Richmond today, and we talked a little bit about it already today. I like this track. It's not the small track, but as Sidekick points out, it's not one of the cookie cutters, and it's not one of the super speedways. You know, we're at a 3/4 mile. You got the nice wide kind of turns and corners, and you can get three wide coming in and out of those. So I kind of like Richmond for that respect. What do we see coming in here today at Richmond, guys? Any thoughts on it? Like I said, we got Harvick up at the top in the poll. Logano's coming in at second. Jimmy Johnson's coming in at third. There's Carl coming in at fourth. Teammate Hamlin behind him at five. Keselowski six. Kurt Busch at seven. Casey Kane eight. Kyle Busch nine. And hey, the Dinger's back up there. Anybody thinking the Dinger?
Dinger could run good. He runs well there.
Yeah,
you know, Richmond.
Well, you know, Liz is.
Matter of fact, I know we don't give our full fantasy teams, but A.J. Allmendinger is on mine.
He's on mine, too. Liz is loving it right about now. Dinger is on my, you know, suddenly we're all Digger fans this year. It's kind of like, I love going back to the Biffle year. It's kind of like the year, you know, it gets to be about this time and Biffle's running crazy 5 years ago. And all of a sudden, all of us are on Biffle. I'm on Digger. He's currently sitting 14th in the standings overall. So he's above the line. He's above the line.
Yep.
Any thoughts broadly on this sidekick on Richmond? 57% of the winners come out of the top five. 85% of the time, winners come out of the top 15. Just a little bit of trivia there for everybody. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited to see smoke.
Everybody is.
I'm interested to see what he does. I'd like to see smoke too. I'm going to be watching. I'm not sure I'm ready to put him on my fantasy team, but I get the value. But I want to see how he shakes off this rust. I mean, he didn't look good, you know, the end of last year, and then he hasn't raced all year. We know he's not doing extracurricular racing type stuff, you know, like the dirt stuff like he used to do. So I don't know.
That's interesting. And before I jump over, because I want to, before we run out of time completely today, I want to make sure that we get into, want to get a little NHRA chat in here. But Tony, you know, we're talking about fantasy before, and we'll get sidekicks picks here in a second, but or in a couple of minutes anyhow. But you know. Fantasy saying, okay, good value. Last year, though, when Tony was, you know, everything was good, all of us noted Tony did not have a good year last year. Vickers and company have done okay driving the 14, but it hasn't been out of this world. I mean, I'll be honest with you, there have been a couple of times we've seen the 14 up there in the top 10, you know, driving along in the top 10 a couple of times, I think maybe even flirting with the top five. But it's not like the car's running out of its mind by itself. I don't know. I'm always skeptical of jumping on a guy simply because, oh my gosh, he's coming back. You know, like as if that, to me, in any other sport, you're going to sit back and go, I'm not taking a chance on that guy at all because you know what? He's going to need a number of weeks to get into the groove. I mean, you could talk about that with a pitcher in baseball. You could talk about that with a quarterback in football. I mean, that's always our approach. And yet, all of a sudden, in racing, everybody wants to jump on the guy. I don't know. Real quick, anyway, thoughts on it?
Well, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how he shakes the rust off. I mean, the team itself, you know, they have to get used to working with different guys every week. This is the third guy they've had now. You know, they've done Ty Dillon. They've done Brian Vickers. Now we got Tony back in the saddle. So, you know, that's got to be an adjustment from the crew chief because each driver likes things just a little different, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out this week. But I think it'll be interesting. I'd like to think that Tony's going to run good. You know what I mean?
Well,
I'd like to think he's going to look good at least in his comeback.
Right. There's a bit of I don't know what I want to say. You kind of get caught up in that. You get caught up in that, you know, oh, I'm pulling for the guy sort of thing. Not dissimilarly to when, like I said, a pitcher comes back from being out, maybe some guy that's really, really great, or when a quarterback comes back who's been out for, you know, a while, you know, a la Mike with Peyton when he came back this past season. You know, yeah, you get caught up in that emotion of it all that sometimes I wonder whether that, in fact, kind of, you know, clouds the vision a little bit, you know. Is Tony really going to do, I mean, you know, or is Tony going to be back to Radanica, you know, keeping her company? I don't know. Any final thoughts, quick thoughts on that sidekick on your buddy, Tony? Are you going to – I mean, are you still sitting there contemplating putting him on your fantasy team?
Not the show team.
Okay.
But he will probably go on my personal team.
All right. All right. Well, we'll get to the show team picks here in a couple of seconds. Let me do this. Let me jump over. Yep. Haven't heard that sound in about 3 weeks. We're going to go four wide racing in North Carolina today in NHRA drag racing. A couple of side stories that are going to come out of today, interestingly enough, and we'll touch on a couple of those here in a moment. But let's take a look at where the standings are right now after four events. And we're going into our fifth today. What are the standings? Right now in Top Fuel, hey, Brittany Force sits up at the top of the leaderboard. Isn't that nice? There's a JFR driver, Brittany Force, up at the top on Top Fuel. We'll see how long that lasts. Antron Brown coming in at second. Doug Coletta comes in at third. Torrance, Clay Milliken. Hey, nice. Clay Milliken up there in fifth. Who's in 10th right now? Leah Pritchett is in 10th going into ZMAX today. Keep that in mind. I'm going to talk about Leah here in a second. Dave Connolly in 7th. Keep that in mind. I'm going to talk about Dave Connolly here in a second. Over in Funny Car, who's up at the top? Hey, how about a JFR car? You got to love this. JFR running Funny Car and Top Fuel. You got to love it. Robert Height up at number one.
Man,
who's number two?
Crush.
Oh, yes, there we go.
Crush.
JGR and JFR. That's those are my initials. Robert Height up at number one. John Ford's at number two. Ron Capps coming in at number three. Del Worsham, Jack Beckman. Courtney Force coming in at six. Down at number 10. Gotta love this one. Matt Hagen at number 10. I love seeing Matt Hagen down there at number 10. That's great. The Cruiser's below the line right now in number 12. Plenty of time, though. No need to sweat. We're only going into our fifth event. Pro Stock right now. Jason Lyon sits up at the top. Greg Anderson sits there at number 2. Bo Butner, number 3. Where's Erica at number 10? Erica Ender's coming in at number 10. Jake Coughlin coming in at number 7 right now as we're, like I said, still early in the season, only four events in. Now, today, what's the ladder looking like as we go into? And again, this is a little bit different kind of a look when you watch these events today because we are going to be going four wide. But what's the ladder looking like over in Pro Stock? Greg Anderson's got the number 1 spot. Drew Skillman, number 2. Jason Lyon, number 3. Bo Butner at number 4. Shane Gray coming in at number 5. We do have a full slate of 16 vehicles. And Erica Ender's coming in at number 10. In Funny Car, Alex DeJuria has got number 1 spot today going 4 wide. Matt Hagen, number 10 on the overall leaderboard, coming in at number 2. John Force, number 3. Courtney Force, number 4. Del Worsham, 5. Fast Jack Beckman coming in at 6. And on this one as well, nicely enough, we got a full slate of 16 cars running in Funny Car. Top Fuel. Number 1, we've got Steve Torrance. Number 2, J.R. Todd. Number 3, Brittany Force coming in at number 3. Doug Coletta coming in at number 4. Where's number 5? Number 5, Clay Milliken coming in at number 5. Number 6 is Antron Brown. Where's Ron? Or Ron's over in Funny Car. I didn't check on Ron. Let me touch real quick. Leah Pritchett coming in at number 11. Where is Dave Connolly? I'm not seeing Dave Connolly on here. May not have qualified or may not have even tried. I thought both of them did have temporary sponsorship. All right. Well, anyhow, the side story here.
I don't believe Connolly did. I know Pritchett made out pretty good.
Yeah,
she's actually in a better team.
Albeit it's temporary. So both of them. Both
temporary for now. If she does well, the sponsors tend to change,
Yeah.
It might be temporary. If she wins a race, watch out, boy.
it was kind of a little bit of a shock. Came as a little bit of a shock to me the other, I guess it was, well, it was before last Sunday's program because I alluded to it last Sunday. So I guess it's been over a week now. Came as a little bit of a shock. If you follow drag racing, if you follow NHRA, you know the name Bob Vandegrift. Bob Vandegrift, of course, has been the owner for BVR, of which Dave Connolly and Leah Pritchett on that team. And rather abruptly, about 10 days ago, Bob Vandegrift just decided to close his doors. Got up one morning, and of course, the way the announcement made it sound, sounded like he got up one morning and made the decision that, hey, I'm retiring. And that's
it. Well, there's a little more to that.
Go ahead. Well,
yeah, his best friend died, who was a high up at C&G Energy, where the sponsor dollars were coming from.
Right.
And after his friend passed, apparently had a sit down with the leadership, and C&G Energy was not going to be committing the sponsor dollars moving forward. So, yeah, it seems sudden, but there was also sponsor issues involved with this whole, you know, shutdown. So, you know, I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just it is what it is. You know what I mean?
And, you know, look, I understand. NHRA is a tough sport to get sponsorship for. We've been seeing the sponsorship issues become more and more of an issue even over the past 2 to 3 years. And I get it. I understand that. It seems to me, however, though, there's still a level of responsibility on Vandegrift's part.
Yes, I would agree. I think what he did was kind of a, you know, quote-unquote dick move. You know, you don't do that to all the employees and all the drivers and, you know, everybody who planned ahead, you know, for this season. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, you know, there was other issues. He didn't just wake up and decide, you know, I'm done. He woke up and decided he wasn't putting any money in out of his pocket is what he did, is a long story short.
And see, I'll buy the, you know, everything that you, and I'm not saying that there's any, I don't have any reason to believe it's not true. Everything that you just said there, everything there is, I'm sure, is 100% accurate. It seems to me you would have known. We're only four events in. He had to have known that there was the possibility of losing sponsorship going into the season. And if you know that and you can't replace it, well, then what you do is you put one or two of your drivers on notice at that point. Look, here's the bottom line. I think for prudence and you know, just to be smart about it, let's drop one of these cars now. Let's drop one. And look, as tough as it might have been for, say, it would seem to me it probably would have been Leah that would have gotten cut early on. You stick with Dave Connolly. Connolly's driven fabulously this season. It would seem to me you take the preemptive measure early on in the season, as opposed to getting four events in. Both of these drivers, as I just pointed out, in the top 10. Connolly sitting at 7, and now Leah at 10, and now they're scrambling in 10 days to go and put something together. And, well, as you point out nicely enough, Leah is running. She did get some sponsorship. Connolly, I was under the impression, I'm just trying to quickly scan this one article that I got here that says that they do both have. Maybe it was that they weren't able to get the sponsorship put together for Connolly for this particular race. Maybe it'll be ready in 2 weeks. I'll check that out though. But anyhow, I was very disappointed in it. That's the bottom line. Very, very disappointed because like I said, Vandegrift is a name that has been around drag racing, and I was just a little bit surprised at it. Anyhow, as far as today goes, holy smokes, do I have the schedule? Can I get the TV schedule? Oh, yes, I can. I didn't have that up, guys. Sorry. Let me see where we are as far as what we are getting here today.
It's on Fox, I can tell you that. Fox proper. We don't have no FS1 today.
finals, it says, for...
Oh, you're talking for NHRA. Yeah, that's FS1.
Yeah.
That's FS1. Sorry, I thought you were doing NASCAR.
I'm really confused how they've got this written here. Maybe, okay, one... Oh, it's okay, they're showing it as Eastern Time and then Pacific Time. All right, looks like... is it live? I don't know. It's not saying it's live. Anyhow, 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time today, it looks like. 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. That's where you can get NHRA today. That's where I will be. All right, anyhow. Let's get over real quick and check in with Doug Dick. Sidekick, do I have the, yes, I do. Hold on. I do have the, just want to give a shout out real quick. We got to give a shout out to our own Brandon, who got a win last week in fantasy. And rocking himself all the way up to number 2 on the leaderboard. Sidekick, you drop back to number 3. Uh-oh. Yep, Sidekick's Race Trim fantasy team dropped back to number 3. Brandon,
am I still in the chase?
Well, for the moment, yeah. You know, it is possible. Everybody needs to consider this for a moment. It is not mathematically impossible that we could have 17 race winners and somebody not make the chase. Just keep that in mind. A win does not necessarily mean you make the chase in fantasy.
No.
So just keep that in mind. But, yes, at the moment, Sidekick, you are in the chase. So, yes, at the moment. Get that second win and you'll probably insure it.
Yep. That's all
so
I need.
What do you got for today?
So today, today's big roster. We're going to run Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Matt DiBenedetto. Getting a top 10 last week.
Yes, he did.
Crying about it. And Regan Smith.
All right.
I'm going with, Kyle Busch's race winner. Toyota is manufacturer. And like you, it's kind of tiring, but I'm Kyle Busch. He's got the most wins at Richmond. I think Kyle Busch is going to get this thing done.
So we're going with, is Kyle your eat my dust?
Yes, Kyle's my eat my dust.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure there.
Sorry to confuse you.
Let me run them down for our others. And with regard to our eat my dust, boy, that got very, very competitive. Last week, our leaderboard there got very competitive. Sidekick, you're up at the top right now. You're 22 points ahead of loyal listener Liz. So you're coming in at 252. Liz coming in at 230. Brandon jumped all the way up because Brandon and I both picked Carl Edwards last week. So that helped us out tremendously. But that really helped Brandon out, jumped him up to number 3. He's at now at 224. NASCAR John coming in at 216, and I'm coming in at 194. So sneaking up on everybody. I mean, there's only what, about 58 points maybe between you and the bottom, which is myself. Loyal listener Liz coming in with Kurt Busch today. And NASCAR John coming in with Kevin Harvick. Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Who are you coming in
with? I'm going with Kevin Harvick as well. I think Kevin Harvick is going to dominate today. I think you're going to see a Stewart Haas team run well as a whole. And I think you're going to see Kevin Harvick lead a lot of laps. Kevin Harvick does. I've seen Kevin Harvick do real well at this track over the years. Like I said, I've been there many times. So, you know, I think this is the one where you're going to see Mr. Harvick make his way into the chase this year.
Very good. And as I pointed out earlier in the show, if I wasn't completely apparent about it, I will be now. I am going with, for the third week in a row, and I've never done this before, I'm going with the exact same driver. I'm going with Carl Edwards. Guy's been a man on a mission. And as I pointed out, while the two cars that I heard coming out of practice yesterday that were running their best were, as you point out, Brandon Harvick, and then I heard Carl Edwards. And Edwards just has been absolutely crazy in the past.
Just on a little side note, I'd keep an eye on Dale Jr. Dale Jr. is pretty pumped after winning his first ever race for his own team yesterday. I think you might see a little, spring in the number 88 step today. Just a hunch.
No doubt about it. And as I pointed out, he's a two-time winner here as well. So not impossible that he could pull one off here. I actually considered after yesterday's Xfinity race, I considered making Junior eat my dust. But I don't know. I just I don't know. My gut's telling me Edwards again.
That team's on a roll, too. If you remember back to Bristol last week, they had that issue with the batteries being dead in the beginning. He was two laps down. He comes back all the way to finish second. That's pretty impressive. The trouble hit at the right time for him, but that team's on a little roll. I wouldn't be shocked if, they're up front again.
I agree with you. I think it could easily be Dale. And interestingly, nobody chose Junior today. So, all right, there you have it, folks. We're going to get ready for Richmond, which should be green flagging here probably in about, I would say, about 45 minutes or so. Want to thank everybody who has listened in here this afternoon. Thanks to all of our participants, to loyal listener Liz, to NASCAR John. Many thanks as well to Chuck Ellison from SaveStockCarRacing.com. Get over and check them out on their Facebook page for the moment. Save Stock Car Racing. Go over to Facebook and look them up there. But thanks to Chuck for jumping in with us here today to talk lug nuts. Yeah, that's what we were talking, folks, lug nuts. Make sure you're here with us, back here with us on Thursday night, please, for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. Number 242 coming to you live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That'll be a doozy, folks, as it'll be our draft show, our NFL draft program. We'll be coming to you live on Thursday night. The first hour is before the draft. The second hour, we're actually going live while the draft is going live. So it's always a lot of fun to be here with us listening in as the draft is going live. Be here on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the Frat House Sports Show. And then next Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, be back here with me for my relaxed Frat House Saturday. And for the rest of us here and everybody out there, hey, boogity, boogity, boogity. Go check out racing and hockey and basketball and baseball. It's all going on today. Get out there and enjoy it all.